You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Comancheria. Today let's talk another lesson in awareness. And then we're talking again, not situational awareness, which is by very definition, situational means it's an awareness you turn on occasionally. We're talking about having an awareness that runs all the time. We're going to actually look at something, a quote from the Arapaho tribal tradition, and then move us through actually a legendary hoss of a tiger hunter, a man who actually brought down some man-eaters that brought down hundreds of human beings. So that also marks him as a hero, and we'll use him to help highlight how it's just not always looking for tigers in the world, man. It's also looking at everything, and then the tigers are easy to see. And now let's go ahead and open up with the quote that we've got going there, which is going to be coming from the Arapaho tradition. And the maxim from the Arapaho warrior is, all plants are our brothers and sisters. They talk to us. If we listen, we can hear them. Unquote. Now, usually when we come across such things, it's usually a book with a kind of a new age tinge to them. We'll hear that all plants are brothers and sisters, thinking about all living together in harmony. And that's how we're usually interpreting, as opposed to how the actual intent and meaning of this world, brothers and sisters, meaning we're interrelated with all these things. They talk to us and if we listen to them. We can hear them. The talking is actually communication, reading the sign of them. And the talking is, I guess, it's a metaphorical use of language. It's a poetic expression, but it actually refers to something actual, practical, and utilitarian, as opposed to, thinking around we're doing in some Billy Jack Tom Laughlin hippy-dippy movie, just hearing the things that sound nice, because a lot of people can spout such things, but they really have actually no interest in getting out there and going, each tree out in the world is a compass. Each flower is opening up at different hours each day. If you learn what these are, you can occasionally see, look at the bloom on this and go, that's approximately 11 o'clock right now, so on and so forth. Let's go on and take a pop quiz to see if, how much we're paying attention to things in the world. Question number one. On this morning's commute, you saw birds, surely to God you did, somewhere, perched on telephone lines or on road signs. Which way were the birds facing? Question number two. What does the bird's facing direction tell you about this particular day? Question three. At which precise landmark did the sun rise over your home this morning? Even if it were cloudy and you weren't even out there this morning, you should still be able to ballpark this rising point. You live there, right? You've seen the sun before. It's been there ever since you walked to this planet. Question number four, where will this sun rise over your home 6 months from now? And how do you know this? And question number five, let's say you and I wanted to conduct a night raid this evening. It's very important to do so, whether it's for vengeance, retribution, to recoup lost booty, what have you. Is the moon conducive to cover for this proposed raid this evening? Will we have enough darkness to make the raid successful? So yes or no? Is tonight a good night for the raid? Yes or no? All right, we'll come back to the answers at the end of this particular musing, but let's move on. As we already know, this is not an indigenous tribe in the face of the globe that do not value wide awake awareness. This is not mere lip service awareness. Again, it's not the new agey, the hippy-dippy stuff. We're talking toes in the dirt here and now present knowledge. This nature awareness was a key to survival, a key to battle preparation, a key to beauty appreciation, and a key to connectedness. This sort of knowledge is not something privy only to the past or certain peoples. It is a choice made by those who value knowing over blindness, perceiving, or overseeing. Overseeing. It doesn't mean it's something you're born with necessarily. It means you can turn this on, every one of us, right where we are right now. Toes in the dirt, get going. One such man, and this comes from an example in the 20th century, one such man who made the conscious choice was a vaunted tiger hunter. And again, he was always going after man-eaters, these tigers in India that were bringing down dozens in some cases, with some of the particular beasts he brought in, other cases, hundreds brought them down. And this is not mere big game trophy hunting here. Jim Corbett's work, he was saving lives. So we have to read this as hero with capital A's. This is just, isn't just mere, I did it, cool, let's see how many animals I can notch off. Or put heads on the wall. And I'm not even talking about the ethics of game hunting. I'm talking, there's a distinction here. This guy was here for a purpose. He loved the area he lived in. He loved the people, and his works are just filled with his compassion. But he also, let's face it, was a hoss out there doing what needed to be done. I often traveled barefoot at times as well. So we're talking about we have an actual real-life Tarzan with a firearm. Now, Mr. Corbett valued this nature awareness that he termed jungle lore, not merely for his chosen service of man-eating stalking, but for the invitation into immersive beauty that it supplied. To see the bad, the man-eating tiger spore, one also had to encounter the good, the melody of birdsong, the scent of the flowers, the righteous color of blooming flowers. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Corbett so we're clear that I'm not saying that, yeah, he really liked this stuff. Let's let him tell you himself. This is a passage or two from his 1953 volume, Jungle Lore. Quote, "The jungle lore I absorbed has been a never-ending source of pleasure to me." I'm going to repeat that. "The jungle lore I absorbed has been a never-ending source of pleasure to me." Unquote. Again, here we have a man who can be killed by his prey, and yet he's alive and awake to the beauty in the Arapaho sense we opened this up with, the Arapaho warrior maxim. The Apache sense, the Comanche sense of the word, always looking for the beauty, and the bad is going to stand out. And his quote again, "The jungle lore absorbed has been a never-ending source of pleasure to me." Notice he didn't say a never-ending source of utility, a never-ending source of wonderful tool that helps me kill. Never-ending source of pleasure to me. He's absorbed by it. He loves what he's doing. He loves seeing. And it's going to be able to, this is where we get beyond the situation awareness to the always awareness. Go back to Corbett now. "I have used the word absorbed in preference to learned, for jungle lore is not a science that could be learned from textbooks. It can, however, be absorbed a little at a time, and the absorption process can go on indefinitely. For the book of nature has no beginning, as it has no end. Open the book where you will at any period of your life, and if you have the desire to acquire knowledge, you will find it of intense interest. No matter how long or how intently you study the pages, your interest will not flag, for in nature there is no finality." Unquote. And that is a wonderfully, wonderfully positive way to look at it. Many of us think, oh, I need a guidebook. I need an app to help me figure out the stars. I need this or that. I need a particular guide. I'm going to go take this two-week class, and then I'll be good to go, and I'll be a regular hoss of the forest. He's saying, no, it's a never-ending process, and where do you need to start? Right now. Like we said before, go out there. Where does the sun rise over your home? Which way are the birds facing? Even if you don't know what this means yet, or perhaps you already do, but even if you don't know what it means, it begins with you actually paying attention and seeing what's going on, and always asking yourself, does this mean something? What's happening right here? Why are the birds, why is this bird's nest on this particular spot? Why, whenever I'm at the parking lot and I see weeds come up through the cracks right here, why is it this particular plant? And do I see this happening in other parking lots as well? It's just being alive and awake to it, seeing what you might find out. And you're thinking, how does this apply? Over time, you start seeing how there's this overwhelming weave of what's going on. So again, the lessons are not in an app, a guidebook, a YouTube video, a blog post, or hell, even this podcast. They are out there. You got to pay attention. Let's go back to Mr. Corbett. Quote, "And so the knowledge you absorb today will be added to the knowledge you will absorb tomorrow, and your capacity for absorption, not on any fixed standard, will depend the amount of knowledge you ultimately accumulate. And at the end of the accumulating period, be that 1 year or 50, you will find that you're only at the beginning, and the whole field of nature lies before you waiting to be explored and to be absorbed. But be assured that if you are not interested, or if you have no desire to acquire knowledge, you will learn nothing from nature." Unquote. So there it is. Begin anywhere, anytime. It's a never-ending process. Some people like things all nice, tied up in the tidy bow. When will I have my certification that this proves that I know everything? It doesn't end. That's what the true artists and the seers of the world, the two warriors, true warriors, know. This is no never-ending process. You're going to keep putting one foot in front of the other, brothers and sisters. You got to keep going, right? And keep moving on. But again, notice how he ends that. He says, "But be assured that if you are not interested, if you have no desire to acquire knowledge, you will learn nothing from nature." And he didn't say you will learn little. He said you will know nothing, because the interest has to be there. You have to look. He has a promise of no end. And again, this is worrisome. Again, some who like these tight, pretty packages and all, trivia is tied into the pretty bow. And, you know, wait to say, here is these things, learn these, look at this list, check it off, and you're finished, hombre. This is the mindset of a dilettante, okay? This is an everyday classroom Corbett speaks of. And in Corbett's view, he says, you're not learned nothing, little or some, you learn nothing. And again, we stress such points in our Suicato program that asks for a minimum, it's 8 minutes of your day to become alive and awake. We do that again. I'll put links in the show notes. That's just an 8 minute beginning. It's just a way to prime the day, prime the sensory pump, to open you up, to ask yourself, this is what we're trying to do throughout the entire day. That's what the Suicato program is. It doesn't give you 8 minutes to go, boom, you're an automatic resonating antenna of an awareness. It tells you to turn the sensory array on and then go to work and then move throughout your day and constantly be asking questions in the Corbett sense. Again, a minimum of 8 minutes is the foundation, the beginning. It's not the end, but again, I'll give the link if you're interested. You at least read about it and see if this is more of what you want to do. Let's go back to Corbett now. Quote, I walked with a companion for 12 miles through a beautiful forest from one camp to another. It was the month of April. Nature was at her best. Trees, shrubs, and creepers were in full bloom. Gaily covered butterflies flitted from flower to flower, and the air filled with the scent of flowers, throbbed with the song of birds. At the end of the day, my companion was asked if he'd enjoyed the walk, and he answered, no, the road was very rough. Unquote. Fascinating there, because we have this man-eater, the guy who hunts tigers, thinks they can kill him. And he's talking about butterflies and trees and shrubs. He's enjoying what the bloom of the day is. See, he's in an area that's rife with venomous reptiles. No, he's seeing nothing but the beauty. And two people, there you go. We see what we choose to see. Corbett, the hunter of dangerous beasts, saw beauty everywhere. His companion saw boredom and hardship. Now, who would you rather be, the hoss tiger hunter, or the guy who just sees boredom and hardship? Let's go back to Corbett again with another quote. Quote, I was traveling shortly after World War I from Bombay to Mombasa and the British India liner Karagola. There were five of us on the upper deck. I was going to Tanganyika to build a house. The other four were going to Kenya, three to shoot and one to look at a farm he had purchased. The sea was rough and I am a bad sailor. I spent most of my time dozing in a corner of the smoke room. The others sat at a nearby table playing bridge, smoking and talking, mostly about sport. One day, on being awakened by a cramp in my leg, I heard the youngest member of the party say, oh, I know all about tigers. I spent a fortnight with a forest officer in the Central Provinces last year, unquote. So there we go. Corbett, a man who considered knowledge never at an end, hears this casual pronouncement of complete knowledge on his very own field of expertise, an area where even he was never satisfied with what he knew. And yet this youngest member had spent 2 weeks with someone and thought, yeah, I'm good to go. That's often what the certification mindset is, the checklist mindset is, the guidebook mindset is. Again, we often might ourselves be as smug as the youngest member of this party in the smoking room. We don't want to be that. We want to be the Corbett's of the world to consider things that are never ending it whatsoever. Let's go back to Corbett. Admittedly, he's referring to the walker in the woods in the smoke room. He says, admittedly, two extreme cases, but they will serve to emphasize my contention that if you're not interested, you will see nothing but the road you walk on. Or if you have no desire to acquire knowledge and assume you can learn in a fortnight what cannot be learned in a lifetime, you remain ignorant to the end. Unquote. I'm going to repeat that. You remain ignorant to the end. So at one point he says, we know nothing. Or we can also assume you can learn something off this checklist of the fortnight. You remain ignorant to the end because as soon as you tell yourself, I got the certification, you tell yourself I'm complete and finished, I turn off the mind. And to some degree, that's what situational awareness is. Whenever things look bad, this is when I turn my awareness on. Well, that means you're not aware any other time. We're looking at the phone, not really paying attention. We don't have anything on. Really, what more can be said? We remain ignorant in the end. Let's go back to that pop quiz. We'll repeat those questions and have our answers. Question one, on this morning's commute, you saw birds perched on telephone lines or road signs or whatever. You saw the birds. Which way do they face? Now, my own birds I saw this morning were facing west. Your answer can very well vary out of this. Question two, what do the birds facing direction tell you about the day? Well, birds will, when they land, they will face into the wind to aid easier takeoff. Birds they are not like us wandering around and occasionally in trouble. They can be in trouble all the time, so they always want to be prepared for a speedier takeoff, so they want to face in the wind to aid in a bit. Just like planes taking off on a runway, they got to go into the wind. Now, the birds are also kindly acting as a weather vane for us, letting us know which way the wind direction is coming, so which way the wind is blowing. They're facing the wind. So the birds also let us know the approximate speed. If they are unsheltered from the wind at that very moment, well, this westerly wind direction tells me is an improvement in the weather from yesterday's storms we had is on the way. I can go out on an expedition for a lot. I may not need the umbrella. It'd be a fine prospect to go out. If they are a little bit sheltered while facing the wind, that means it's big and gusty. We got something bigger coming in. Well, the birds, they tell us much, if we even see them. Question number three, at which precise landmark did the sun rise over your home this morning? Even if we're cloudy, you should be able to ballpark this rising point. Now, for me, it was in line with one of my eastern red cedars and a hummingbird stand I have. You can almost come up and line them up directly. Question number four, where will it rise over your home 6 months from now, and how do you know this? Well, Some people, I've actually been amazed to ask, you ask where the sun rises, right here, and I go, where will it rise 6 months from now? It'll be right there. I go, no! 6 months from now, in October, the sun will seem to have creeped southward, rising over a string of Lombard poplars, at least in my property. The sun rises and sets with 1 degree of difference each and every day of our lives. 365 days in a year, crew, we all know this. It's gradually doing every day one tick difference. There's a 1 minute change in sunrise and sunset times. It's also 1 degree difference of where the position will be. And also, if you live in a particular spot, you get to have these predictable points down. That's what's the beauty of so much early indigenous sheltering. And when people see Stonehenge, and we want to make so much of, these are amazing, there's mystical things to it. No, what it is, the ingenuity, the geniusness of it, the observational skills to go, these are set up for solstices. These are set up for particular points. These are people who were alive and awake and aware and attuned to what was going on overhead and beneath the foot. And they know where things are going to be. I've been in Canyonland where you see you could have moved these stones anywhere, but they didn't just move them anywhere. They put stones where they're going to go, this is precisely where we're going to have the sun at this time, where we're going to have it at this time. This is where the prevailing wind's going to be. And you ask people today these same things. You know, if you ask them, where is this at? Without an app, just have no idea what they're talking about. The sun's been rising and doing it since before you were born, and anyone awake to it can tell you sunset and sunrise today, tomorrow, a week from now, and where it will arise and where it will set with a fine degree of approximation. Now, question number five, I wanted to ask that if I wanted to conduct a night raid this evening, is the moon conducive for the to cover for this proposed raid, yes or no? Well, at the time I'm proposing this, recording this podcast, well, the answer would be yes. It'd be a great time for the nighttime raid because the moon is in a waxing crescent. That's everywhere on the globe, people, not just over the Comanche area here. The moon's not full dark, but close enough to allow slight illumination for night traveling without a flashlight, but dark enough to raid those who use artificial illumination or a campfire, and their eyes will not be adjusted yet. So again, if we are in tune with the world, we know kind of where the phases of the moon are going to be. We know the approximate rise time, just as we know the approximate sunrise and sunset time, just by knowing what kind of time of the month it is, and you're going to be there. Allow me to report Mr. Corbett's moral again, quote, I emphasize my contention that if you're not interested, you will see nothing but the road you walk on. If you have no desire to acquire knowledge and assume you can learn in a fortnight, which cannot be learned in a lifetime, you remain ignorant to the end, unquote. Now, I offer to begin the journey out of ignorance. I recommend that Suikeju program. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes. You can have a look there. Beyond that, though, hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. I want to say Mabitsi Aru Haitsi, in your respect and honor, my friends. Notes. I'm going to give you notes, the show notes, to go have a look at our store if there's other things you want to have a look there. And combat related. Today, we weren't really talking combat. Then again, were we? If a tiger hunter is looking for beauty, but he's also able to bring down a tiger, you tigers out there ready to protect yourselves and your families, the same thing. You're ready to see the beauty? Well, then you probably could be ready to defend because you're alive and awake to everything. And as always, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, like, support, share, and all those other things, algorithm gods, they really, really like that. They'll just, they'll fix you up some ambrosia and bring it to your house. At least that's what I'm told. Take care of yourself, crew. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musings.